Hearth and Talent Radio.
Jeffrey Combs, president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated, on a beautiful, I do mean beautiful, last day. Today is the last day. Today is the last day of March. Welcome to the Facebook Live today. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Monica, welcome to the call. Michelle, welcome to the call. Wayne, or call. Welcome to the Facebook Live, everyone. Good to have you here on this beautiful end of March, into the very first quarter, 2020. What a 90-day period this is. A little more than 90 days, actually. Remember back on January 1st when it all started, and then middle of March, how our world has changed and what we are looking down the gun barrel of right now. So welcome, welcome, welcome. As people are coming on the Facebook Live, Tracy, welcome to the Facebook Live. Dan and Arella, welcome to Facebook Live. The topic for today's Facebook Live is the psychology of closing, and not only closing, but really understanding and learning how to close in a new economy. We don't even really know where the economy is. There's speculation of a new bank, a gold-backed bank. There's speculation of a blackout for 3 days sometime this week. I mean, I listened to a lot of intel today about the blackout that's coming, the blackout for 3 days. I mean, I heard good insight on that, so You will know as much as I do as you stay in the moment here, in the present. So closing is an absolute skill. It's mastery. It's an art. I have spoken to three prospects today who had three objections. So I will cover some of the objections I encounter frequently. And an objection is not a rejection, and an objection is not no. Most of society is very unskilled at closing because of their anxiety about the outcome. And the people who have anxiety about closing often have the same anxiety about deciding. So if you're not a committed finisher, asking other people to commit and finish will be as equally challenging as it is to you to finish, as it is you to ask for them. That's the great contradiction that anyone who steps into a business that requires sales skills, it's an understanding that if I can't commit, how can I ask someone else to commit? If I'm not committed, if I rebel against making my bid, how can I ask someone else to make their bid? If I have shiny object syndrome, how can I ask someone else to be focused? How can I attract to my reality people who are focused when I'm unfocused? Well, that is the situation that in a process you learn to let go of. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be your best, but in the evolution, in the transition of change, in the letting go process, you learn how to master communication skills. Now, when you come from codependency meaning that you're an addicted enabler, you're an over-obligator, you do more for others than you do for yourself, you will also have challenges closing, because that means the emotions that you're going to be telegraphing are guilt. When you're not good enough, you've been traumatized, victimized, molested, abandoned, neglected, abused, and you still live in that shame, the shame of those events, you will telegraph that. When you are pissed off, angry, you don't feel that life is fair, you feel like you're behind the curve, this always happens to you, and you come from that kind of intensity, you'll have challenges closing. When you are overwhelmed and you live in an overwhelmed state, when you're undisciplined, unorganized, when you have gaps and delays in your communication, when you and ah and think and process and analyze and use kinda, sorta, guess, I don't know, you'll have challenges closing. Now, closing is not difficult. Closing is new. Closing is finesse. Closing is asking questions in a sequence. Closing is letting go when it's time to let go. Closing is being able to present the value, ask for the commitment, and then watch how the prospect reacts to it. A prospect that responds to the stimulus responds right into it, sees the value, doesn't overanalyze it, doesn't think about it, doesn't process it. Now, you're going to encounter a lot of clients and a lot of prospects that will give you a future tense. And you're going to find that a large percent of the population that buys, they buy now. Now, that means they buy emotionally. Now, everyone's entitled to think about it, evaluate it, hesitate, meditate, levitate, pontificate, procrastinate, and do whatever they do. But you'll also find that a large percent of qualified buyers are qualified buyers because they can decide and commit. And those are the people that you are looking for. And those are the type of people that can see the value and they can also let go of scarcity, poverty consciousness, lack mindset. Now, the reality of the situation in today's world, it's very easy for you to talk yourself out of business because of what's going on in the world. And that is reality. I mean, it is freaking challenging because people don't know where they are. They don't know there's, I mean, there's a whispering of a new bank. There's a whispering of a gold bank. There's a gold standard coming out. There's whispering of a shutdown. I mean, there's all this shit that goes on in people's head that can alter them from being able to decide. So that means you have to be so skilled in today's world that you can sit right there in the middle of emotion and handle and address the situation that's going on and let go easily and effortlessly of people that have qualified excuses, objections, reasons that they can't, won't, shouldn't, couldn't, the people are going to get back to you, the people that future tense it in a week or two. Can we revisit this? Can I get back with you? Let me talk to my husband, wife, significant other, blow up doll in the closet, someone down the street in the same financial situation that I am. That's what you want to understand that a large percent of the population does when it comes to committing. So people who are commitment phobic come up with reasons why they can't. Now I'm going to cover the five main objections. Number one is money. Money is the most common objection you will encounter when it comes to the commitment of a purchase of a product, service, benefit, and feature. Be comfortable with it because you will hear it over and over. I'm looking at who's on the Facebook Live today. Josh Morin, good to see you. Josh is my 26-year-old superstar coach. Josh, congratulations on your sobriety. Josh is a 26-year-old coach who I highly endorse for some, right, Ray Tamayo's blow-up doll. That's right. So Josh is a 26-year-old coach who can commit and close. So he also was a Division I wrestler at Arizona State University. So he also is the son of a millionaire. He also grew up in his father's business. He's been closing sales since he's a teenager. I'm very similar. I've been in sales since I was a teenager. I started selling in my teens. I read my first sales book in the early 1980s, How to Master the Art of Selling by Tom Hopkins. I yellow highlighted that book. Then I saw Hopkins later on Indian School Road in Phoenix, Arizona, in the Silver Shadow, 1988. I mean, that was poetic how that happened. Here I am at a stoplight, and there's Tom Hopkins right there. I bought the book 6 years earlier. He's sitting right there beside me in Scotts on Scottsdale Road and Indian School Road, the cross street in Scottsdale, Arizona. That is poetic. So closing is a skill set. It is an art. It is finesse. And the more you understand the skill of closing, the more sales that you close, the more people that you bring into your influence. Closing can be done through the spoken word. Closing can be done through the written word. Closing can be done through emails. Closing can be done through internet marketing techniques where there's a proposal, there's a tripwire, there's a $7 product, a $47 product, a $97 product, a $497 product, a $2,000 product. I mean, it's a stair-step progression of selling. And the more you understand that selling is a skill, it's an asset, it's the highest paid profession in the world. And when you become skilled at it, good at it, you can pick your sales bag up and go anywhere in the world and restart your profession, provided you are skilled at the process. So the number one objection is money. Number two is they want to think about it. Number three is I'll get back with you. Number four is I'm not interested. Number five, they want to run it by someone else. Well, let me talk to my wife and I'll get back to you. Let me get back to you the end of the day. Let me get back to you the end of the week. Let me get back to you. Someone recently said to me, the earliest I could buy from you is April 10th. Now, does that mean, what's the latest? Is the latest December 31st? I mean, I read that and this was, someone sent this back to me. The earliest I could buy is, I mean, that was, so that doesn't mean that on April 10th they're buying. It said the earliest. I mean, that's what that jargon said. So what you want to learn to also do is let go of people who are difficult. If you are chasing people, begging people, stalking people, and you continue to follow up with them over and over and over, and that's difficulty. That's force. That's force and a counterforce. You want to be able to let go of that situation and be able to attract to reality people who see the value, people who are willing to purchase on command. It doesn't matter whether it's $20, $200, $2,000, $20,000, $200,000, or $2 million. A qualified buyer will buy because they are qualified. Objections again. Number one, money. Number two, think about it. Number three, get back to you. Number four, I'm not interested. And number five, I want to run it by someone else. Fireman, dog catcher, someone down the street in the same financial situation. And I have handled all these objections in the hundreds of thousands of times in my career. That's the repetition and the experience. That's the finesse required to close a transaction, to close a sale. I moved into the big leagues of selling in a straight commission sales job in the 80s. I was a territory sales rep for Southwestern Bell Yellow Pages, loaned out to a company called Mass Publishing Incorporated out of Kansas City, Missouri, and I was in the California territory of Northern California. I had a territory in this area, and I would go out on a Monday and I would come back on a Friday, and I would sell the advertising into a Yellow Page directory into the Continental phone book. Continental was a telephone company at the time that was contracted by Southwestern Bell, so I was loaned out to them as a territory rep. On an average day, I would close 20 sales. I would call on 20 accounts. It took a lot to close 20 accounts. I would call on 20 accounts, walk in or appointment, and it was a one call close. This was not, I could come back. I could only come back for a few clients because I had a stack like this. It was beyond what you can see here. I had a stack and it had to be done in a 90-day period. So systematically, I had a set number of days and I had to increase the revenue that I was assigned by 25% to make the quota. That's real selling. And I would ask the same questions over and over. I would receive the same objections over and over. That costs too much. I bought that last year. I didn't get one phone call on it. Take that ad out of the book. And it was a very interesting dynamic because I would call on a backhoe contractor on one call, gynecologist on the next call, a carpet cleaner on the next call, who incidentally, carpet cleaners often bought full page ads in the back of the book. I'd call on a bail bondsman on the next call. They were the number one buyers of Yellow Page advertising in the 80s and 90s because the phone book would be right in the jail or right by the telephone stand. And people would call a bail bondsman and they would have full page ads. So I became very skilled. It was like having an MBA and a PhD in business and how I asked the questions over and over and over. Then in the late 80s, I was introduced to a network marketing company called Herbalife. And that was my first real network marketing adventure. I had started previously in Amway in the 80s and was exposed to the industry in that time frame. So by the time the mid-90s rolled around, I had 10 years of full-time experience in direct sales and network marketing. Then I was introduced to a product called Gateway to Financial Freedom, a very, very interesting product on constitutional common law by the late, great Keith Anderson, whose content would stand up well in today's world, especially what's going on in today's world. It was in that experience that I met G. Edward Griffin. I met David Icke. David Icke was a keynote speaker at some of our events. Mind-blowing to have the number one conspiracy speaker at an inspirational event with a few thousand people. People's heads were hurting as they would come out after listening to David Icke's content, which is applicable what is going on in the world today. And I was able to sell that kind of education process, and I became very, very successful in that situation. Now, what I learned in selling is that people buy value, they buy service, and they buy from people they feel comfortable with. So those are the three main reasons people will buy. The number one reason they won't buy is they can't decide. Now, they may not see the value, but what many people have challenges doing is committing. So they delay a commitment, and it's imperative that you understand what that means, a delayed buy signal. I really like to buy this from you, but I'm going to buy. Don't worry, I'm going to buy. Rest assured, I'm going to buy, but I'm going to do it after I pay my taxes. I'm going to do it after I talk to my wife. I don't want you to think I'm not interested. I see there's all these, there's like these double contradictions that people use to seduce you into believing they're buying, but when you're as skilled as I am, you know they're lying. You know they're telling you what they think you want to hear. Now, that doesn't mean they're liars, but it means they're addicts. It means they're addicted to a set of feelings. They have challenges with the possibility of being responsible. And when you start to understand this, you will let certain people go quickly, easily, and effortlessly. And you can also tell when someone is giving you an objection, because they tend to want to embellish the injection. They give you the objection. They keep going and keep going and keep going and going. But let's look at the number one reason that people don't buy from you, along with they have challenges deciding. The most common commonality that you will encounter is money. Now, there are certain price points that you're going to encounter. You may be selling a product. So let's, for example, say that you are selling porcelain and veneer dentistry. So that is top tier type of dentistry. So that usually starts around $10,000. I believe that's $2,000 a tooth. So it can go on up in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. Or let's say that you are selling a Mercedes. The bottom of a line Mercedes is around $50,000, $60,000. Or you can move up to into Glenda Wagon, or you can move into their top Mercedes that goes for about $1 million. Don't remember what it's called, the Mercedes that it moves in the back of the seat moves in the back. I've ridden in a couple of them. They go for about $850,000, or Rolls Royces can go for $1 million, or you can be selling antique vintage cars, Cobras, that could be going for $1 million. I mean, you can be selling real estate that's $2 million to $4 million, because it's not the price point, it's how skilled you are at presenting the value and asking for the commitment. Whether it's a $250,000 home or $2.5 million home or a $25 million home, it takes the same skill level to close any of those three transactions. But if you're intimidated by money, you will attract the same situation to your reality. If you have anxiety about asking the questions, then you tell yourself these stories. I'm not sure if I can put myself out there. I'm not comfortable with the possibility of. I don't know what my friends are going to think. Most of your friends are in the same financial situation you are, or you can be associating with them. No matter where you are, the people you associate with, most of them are in the same category you are. Now, you may be elevating your consciousness and separating yourself from them, but most of you will go back to them and then get polluted by what they tell you. And they will tell you about what's going on in the world, vaccinations. They'll tell you what's going on with the epidemic, and they'll tell you statistics about how many people are in the hospital and died from this virus and that virus. Someone attempted to tell me yesterday that 17 people a minute are dying in New York City. And I asked them, can you document that? What do you mean? I said, well, can you document that? I mean, it's possible that 17 people a minute are dying in New York City. That just didn't compute to me. So I did ask them if they could document it. They were lost in the sauce, and I let them go easily and effortlessly. Aloha, Suzanne. So in the world of selling, it's your responsibility to learn how to ask the questions in the sequence. How do you close? Early and often. You close early in the conversation by asking trial closing questions. How serious are you about improving the quality of your health? That's a wellness product. How serious are you about dentistry? How serious are you about improving your smile? How serious are you about purchasing a home? And if you're selling a home, it's imperative you find out credit score. Do they have good credit? Do they have a bankruptcy? Now, many of people have challenges. They go, I'm prying in their affairs. I'm being nosy. I don't want you to think, well, here's what that means, Chief. It means you aren't going to make it. That means if you can't overcome your anxiety about what hasn't happened, then you're going to just sit around in this challenge that's going on and not close any sales while the challenge is going on. And if you are worried about calling someone because of what's going on, I don't want to bother them. I don't want to seem insensitive. Well, you don't just sit around and do that. Don't just keep doing what you're doing, and you'll keep receiving what you are receiving. And closing is a skill. And now's the time to present the value to people, because the waitress who does not have a job has no money. Waitresses, the last time I checked, being a waiter, waitresses typically don't have savings account. They don't get 401ks. They don't have pension plans. Busboys don't have it. I mean, people are out of work, could be looking for an opportunity. It's too black and white to say they are, but it's your responsibility to attract and create the qualified buyers. Because no matter what's going on in the world, even if it's scarcity, there are people who will buy value, but they won't buy value if you devalue yourself. So if you're anxious like this before you get there, You've already telegraphed the outcome before you get there. You've minimized the possibility, probability, and the opportunity for someone to buy from you because you have a mixed message. Hello, I'm really uncomfortable. Let's go ahead and get this over with. And that's unfortunately what happens. When you come from power, value, service, you have a benefit, a feature that can be life-changing, life-altering, that can affect their image, that can affect their image consciousness, that can affect their consciousness for money, or any multitude of situations, then you are bringing your best value. What many people do is they bring their worst game to the sales table because of their anxiety rather than bringing their best game to the sales table. When you're in a conversation, your objective is to be your best you, to be a skilled listener, number one, to ask the questions about the outcome that are pertinent to the conversation. You direct the flow of the conversation. You don't let the prospect interrogate you. You interview the prospect, not an interrogation form, in a relaxed conversation. And if it starts to get away from you, it's because you're not skilled at redirecting the communication and the conversation. And when you really start to hone in on this, and for those of you who are not skilled closers, I highly recommend you reach out to me for a 20-minute coaching call, because it's never been more imperative that you become a closer in this economy right now. I mean, like, right freaking now, like today, the minute, this second. Whether you're marketing a $200 package, whether you're selling a $47 download, if you can't write the content that opens the door to someone coming into the email campaign, or if you don't have a purpose statement in the way you start a conversation. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I'm calling from Stockton, California. How are you today? Is this Susan? Susan, good to connect with you. Susan, the reason I'm reaching out to you, that's the purpose. So you lead the conversation with the purpose, the reason. Now, many of you are seduced into believing you have to be friends with people. Hi, can we be friends? Let's be friends first, and let's go have coffee, GOFC, good old-fashioned chat. Let's SOS, let's do this, and then I'll eventually wrap around to my purpose. That's what many of you do. You spend too much time chit-chatting. And then what many people do is they spend way too much time doing this. Mouth opens, teeth move. They spend too much time talking, not enough time qualifying the prospect for their time. And many people misread me. Oh my God, he's abrasive, he's a dick, he's rude, he's... No, I'm none of that. I'm clear on the purpose of owning a business. The reason I own a business is for profit, P-R-O-F-I-T, with a value proposition in delivering the service. So that is the reason I own a business. I own a corporation that has corporate taxes, that gets paid every... Corporate taxes are paid every single quarter. I have a payroll that gets paid every 30 days. I have vendors that require being paid. I have a savings plan. I have property that I paid off over a period of time. That's what a business is for, an S corporation, a C corporation, a limited liability corporation, an LLP, a limited partnership. These are the structures you own that if you're in America, you have articles of corporation, you're the stockholder, you're the chief officer, you're the financial planner, you become skilled at taxes, you become skilled at investing in money, you become skilled in understanding what's going on in the outer world while it's staying calm in your inner world because you own a business. You may provide jobs for people. Whatever it is you're doing, you want to have a business from your home with low overhead that can withstand a recession. If you have one of those businesses, then you are in business, chief. You are in the driver's seat. You're ITF in the flow. And so to be an effective closer, it's asking the questions in a sequence. What's the question? What's the question? What's the right question? It's not a right question, it's effective questions. How serious are you about starting a business from the comfort of your home? How serious are you about purchasing logistics software that will help you to increase your bottom line in your business? How serious are you about taking your business to the next level? How serious are you about improving the quality of your health? That's a trial closing question that's asked upfront in the conversation. How serious are you about providing best dog food for your Fido? That's a simple elementary question that so many people have challenges asking. What cat litter do you use? Do you know what the best cat litter on the market, according to what I understand statistically, is? I mean, that would be, I mean, If you can ask questions, you can sell anything. But if you are in anxiety, you can't sell anything. That's what happens. Most people can't sell anything because they're so overwhelmed about an outcome that hasn't happened, so in their head about the situation, so worried about the outcome that hasn't happened, that they can't relax and be in their body and ask the questions in a sequence. Now, for those of you who are serious, who are not closing the sales that you're required, if you're not closing 2 to 5 sales in a calendar week, you are not a closer. I average 3 to 5 every single week of my life for the last 30 plus years. That's what a closer does. In the Yellow Pages, I close sales every single day. When I was a network marketer and a direct salesperson, I would close 20 to 30 sales a month, rain or shine. As a success coach, I close a sale at least one every single day because that's what I get paid for. For providing the value is first. You provide the value up front. You offer the service. You find out what the problem is, offer the solution, and close on the solution. That is, my friend, the skill to closing. Now, my Kyle Jessen, who is one of the most exceptional closers that I have ever had the privilege of coaching, he's a millionaire business owner, someone I highly, highly endorse, who, and Zach Bazanza, look up Mikhail. Mikhail was about 10 years ago, 8 years ago. Mikhail is a self-made millionaire. He's in the lending industry, someone I highly endorse, that you find out a little bit about what he does. Josh Morin is an exceptional coaching client of mine who is also coaching, 26 years old, going on 27, who I highly endorse. Matt Smith is another coach I endorse. Lisa Pazanza is another coach I endorse. Marina Joy is a very, very skilled real estate investor. I saw Ray Tamayo, my boy Ray, on there. Duke, my man, is one of the best chiropractors I've ever met. Zach Pazanza is a real up-and-comer in the closing industry in real estate. If I didn't mention your name, it's because I can't see it right now. But those of you who just hired me, thank you very much. Because anyone who's hired me this year, it's not like I didn't take my game to new level last year. It's not like I was an average schmo. But I have never been more committed. I mean, I'm 63 years old. I can't start over, baby. I mean, I can't afford to lose the money in the market. I mean, I am in this to win it. I'm not in it to be average. And so anyone that's on my ship with me this year, because I have never seen times like this, I have never, N-E-V-E-R, and I would use the F word, but I won't on this one. I have never been more, you know what, committed than I am right now. Suzanne Ross McCartney, right on, baby. I am your man. Kathy, that's Kathy the Crusher Shepherd. Kathy's a trip. Kathy wrote a book, Confessions of Recovering Drama Queen, back in 2007. I watched Kathy have a $350,000 year before 2010, and Kathy, my girl Kathy, is reinventing herself in the real estate industry. Love you, Kathy. So have a great afternoon, everyone. I'm going to go close a sale right now. I am salivating to close a sale. I mean, that's how a closer is. A closer smells a close. It's like, baby, it closes. And a closer's like this. It's a very relaxed, it's just like this. It's like pulling the handle, closed. It's not something you're excited about. That's what you expect. You close sales because that is what you get paid for. Incidentally, Brad Barley just called me right before this call. Brad used to be someone I did a lot of business with back in the day. I mean, back in the day, like 2000, Brad was a 22-year-old sales rep for Cutting Edge Media. Cutting Edge Media used to send out one of my cassette tapes called Secrets of a Master Closer. I still have that on CD, Secrets of a Master Closer. So Brad just called me. He calls me about once every 2 years, and he wants me to do a live prospect call. So that must be what he wants. He must want to bring me out of the cobwebs to do a live prospecting call. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up today and go close a sale. If you're seeking a free 20-minute coaching call, don't talk yourself out of it. Allow yourself to move into it. Ask me to assist you with closing some transactions because the month of April, we are shut down, baby. I mean, if you have a job and you own a traditional business, you're out of business. You better find a way to create some commerce, and I can greatly assist you with that. You have a great afternoon. Jeffrey Combs.